But this church is a disciple-making church. God didn't call me here to preach a sermon to you. I'm not here to preach on Sundays. When I call you, I'm not calling you because I'm your pastor. Not only that, but I call because I care. I call because I love you. When I came here, I came to help because PK asked me to come and help. I was faithful. Then God changed the course of our life and gave you and I a beautiful relationship together. I love you. My heart beats for you. I think of you. When we got married, there's a song Kendra and I, we sing. And that song kept coming back to me. When we sang it, I did not really understand the song. It's a verse in the Old Testament, the history between Naomi and Ruth, where it says, wherever you go, I will go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be. So, of course, Kendra and I, we from two different cultures. We had no idea. God put us together. We love each other. But we had no idea the plan God had for us. We both had the call for Haiti. But I had no plan to be a minister here in the States. But then I'm like, man, I love these people. I'm in love with you. So, therefore, I am committed to make sure that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everything we do here in this church, everybody we come in contact with, everybody, all the people that will be coming, those of you that are watching online, our goal is what? So you become a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I was just like, what did I get? I'm like, this is what I got. The church's business is to make disciples. Jesus, before he went to heaven, what did he say? Go to all the world, make what? Disciples. You know, I've heard guys talking about series. I've never done a series. You know, notice that I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I preach Holy Spirit, and I skip, I do something. So I don't know. I'm not saying I'm going to do a series on discipleship, but guess what? You will be hearing me talking a lot about discipleship. And I'm challenging you to be intentional about every relationship. Everybody, it starts at home. Oh man, it starts at home. It starts with me and my son and my daughter. It starts with me. I mean, Aaron, it starts with you and those girls. Quinn, it starts with you and Connor and Makilla. I got the names down. I want you to know where it starts. I have a slide I want you guys to be reminded of. It's Albert Einstein. I told you, remember when I first came here? I've learned that. Didn't know it. It's a great reminder. Insanity. I hear people call people insane. Now I got it. That's an insult. I don't think I've ever called anybody insane. But you know what? There are a lot of insane people out there. And this morning, may you and I don't live as insane people. Insane is doing the same thing over and over and again and expecting different results. It doesn't work. Guys, if we got to change, if we want changes, we got to stop doing the same thing we knew we were doing. We have to. Guess what? I wanted some change in my life, spiritual life, physical life, emotional life. You know what I've done? I've made changes. One thing I stopped doing is stop trying to change people. I am becoming a better listener. I mean, sometimes I'm talking to somebody, I don't know. I mean, I'm a preacher, I like talking. Notice some of you, I can have an answer for everything. And I'm very opinionated. Help me out. You got it. You got it. Opinionated. Opinionated. However you say that. I love trying to fix people. And then until I fall flat on my face, I realize you can't do it. I tell you one thing I stopped doing. I stopped trying to change people. And that brought me peace. Peace with my children. Peace with my friends. Peace with my spiritual sons. I tell you another thing I stopped doing. I stopped putting expectation on people. The Lord has set me free. This is a testimony and confession, all right? That's what you do. This is what God's doing in my life, in my heart. And then I'm working on stopping. I'm working on next winter to stop complaining. You know why? Because the more I complain during winter, the miserable I get. So I'm learning how to embrace winter because this is where God has me. But guess what? When summer comes, guys, keep your comments. I'm loving it. But you can say winter's coming, all right? Winter's coming. So insanity is what? Doing the same thing over. So my question for you today is, what are some of the things you need to change? Write that down. What are some of those things you need to stop doing so you don't become insane? Song out of this. What are some of those things? Maybe I'll make a song out of this. Seriously, what is it in your life you need to stop doing so you can get the result you need? Because the result you're expecting won't come until you change. I'm excited about this church, I tell you, because we're changing the way we are operating under open heaven. You know, and I have a next slide. That I have some questions, but you don't have to answer. I put my email on there, the one that says question. I've got two questions. Send your answer to me, PastorRick@Lindstown.com. Question number one. What would be the reason for you not to go back to a church after visiting it? Okay, I want all of you to send me your answers. You email me your answers. What would be your reason? And I'm going to come back next week. What would be the reason? You can screen. You can take a picture of the screen. PastorRick@lindstown.com. There it is. So what would be the reason for you not to go back to a church after visiting it? Or to a home group? We're in this together. And I want you to think about it. Please, don't give me a religious answer. Don't be religious. Okay? Speak to me from your heart. Question number two. Would you invite someone to your church? Or your home group? If yes, why? If no, why? Would you invite someone here? I mean, yeah, I hope so. But that's why I said your church, because it's not necessarily, I'm not necessarily talking about, I mean, yeah, of course, for all of us here, it's Lindstown. But are you excited about your church, even if it's 10 people? Remember what I told you last year? God told me something. He said, the church, what I'm doing right now, that my church is not a number of people. It's like a building full of people. But it is 10 people. that are growing intimately with the Lord. It is 10 people that are encountering the divine fire, divine healing of the Lord. That's my church. And that's the focus of the Lord. You know? So, you got your homework for this week. I can't wait. And please, do not send me your answers by Saturday night. I'm expecting those emails no later than Thursday morning. So now, I got all of you hooked. And all of you have an email, so that's, I'm very excited to hear what you're going to have to say. A biblical foundation for relationship. We are a discipleship-making church. Could we repeat that together? We are a discipleship-making church. Somebody ask you, what kind of church do you go to? Oh, I go to a discipleship-making church. Well, you might have to explain to them what it means. We are a spirit-filled church. We are a church of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. What does that mean? We are a church, we love people. Because God loves us. We accept people where they're at. Come all you, how you are. We forgive you no matter what. We don't hold grudge. And that's why my next slide says the enemy is after your relationship. Satan don't want you to have relationship with good people or bad people. People in general. I want you to open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 3. Let's go have a nice reading. Kendra, can you help me out? Come up here, baby. This is my wife in whom I'm well pleased. Genesis chapter 3, she's going to read for me. And let's just follow up with her together.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbirth very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And to Adam, he said, Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return.
Okay, now let's go back. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. Remember, the enemy will always go after your relationship with God. Satan will always go after your relationship. Day one, he succeed. The whole Old Testament, God did everything so he could restore the relationship between him and us. Finally, on the cross, Jesus said, finally, it is finished. Now the veil's torn, we all have direct access. The enemy will always be after your relationship with God. Now guess what else? The enemy will always be after your relationship with people. He wants us to be divided. He wants division in homes. He wants husband and wife to divorce, to separate. He wants children to divorce their parents. He doesn't like union. Let's go. Read 1 John chapter 1.
1 John chapter 1, verse 1.
Verse 5, actually. Let's start verse 5.
This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Not me.
Check, check. Check, check.
How far? That's chapter one.
Okay, chapter one. Let's read chapter. I'm going to continue chapter two. Thank you, baby. Do I need to use that handheld? Okay, I'm good. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for technology. Thank you, Lord, for our microphones. Thank you, Lord, for our system. Thank you, Jesus, that we have it.
Let's go this way. How about that? Verse 2. He himself is the sacrifice that atoned for our sin. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him. This is it. Underline these verses. Chapter 2, verse 3. We can be sure that we know him, God, if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commands, that person is a liar. If you say you know God, but you do not obey. I'm getting to a point. Because a disciple, the word disciple comes from the Greek mathetes, meaning discipline. A disciple is a disciplined one. So therefore, a disciple of Christ is a disciplined one. We talk about exercising, okay? And I'm going to talk about it because I know it's good for you. You need to exercise. So if you are a disciple of Christ, you need to exercise. You need to do spiritual exercise. What are spiritual exercise? You need to read the Bible. Don't take people's word for it. Read the Bible. Did you know, I've learned a couple years ago, Kendra taught me, it's like you don't eat on the run. You know when you're eating on the run, it's your digestive system doesn't work. Your food, your body does not enjoy your food. So to always be like in the car gushing down a Big Mac is not... It's not healthy for you. So please don't do it. It's not healthy for your body. Maybe stop the car, sit, take a deep breath. Ah, thank you, Lord, for this Mac. A disciple, that's what it says here. And if we know him, we will follow his commandments. If someone claims to know God but does not obey, this is it right here. A disciple obey God's word. It's not law, it's not tradition, it's not religion. It's knowing God, choosing to live by God's commandment. Guess what? It's good for me. All of God's laws are to our benefit. Oh man, I tell you, the gospel is not religion. It's that relationship we have with the Lord that transforms our hearts, transforms our lives, and give us a whole kingdom perspective on things, on life. So a disciple, I think I have a slide, but let's keep reading. It says, I'm going to read it again, verse 4. If someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commandment, that person is a liar and is not living the truth. If someone claims to know God, notice that I'm repeating it. If someone claims to know God, and that person does not obey God's commandment, you are a liar. You judge yourself. See where you're at with this. Verse 5, but those who obey God's word truly show. James, go back to James. It's not about talking. Quit talking about it. Do it. I ask you a question. Give me a couple of reasons that if you go visit a church, or I mean, some people, they say they'll never go to church. Because the way we've done church, we're not talking about doing church, I'm not talking about the service. It's because us Christians who are supposed to be followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, we do not obey the laws of Jesus Christ. Guess what? If we would obey the laws of Jesus Christ, everybody would want to be like you, like me. Guys, if we really know how to love one another, love is kind. Love is patient. Love forgives all. Love is not hypocrite. If we would know how to really love one another, guess what? Everybody would want to be part of this group. And that's what keep people away from the church. That's what keep people away from the church. And I thank God that he's changing that. There's an army rising up. There's a new generation rising up. You know, things people didn't know before, now it's clear. This is what the church is about. It's not talking. It's not praying. It's not religious act, living it. And people are like, man, I want to know how these people, how this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to you. This peace that you have, the world didn't give it to you. This kingdom perspective that you have, the world did not give it to you. So therefore, could the world take it away? Could the news take it away? Should the weather take it away? I know you got me there. Somebody asked me, he's like, how you doing in Virginia? I said, I'm good, man. He's like, oh, you liking the weather? I said, don't ask that question. I'm loving the weather right now. It's getting warmer. Verse 5. But those who obey God's word truly show completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives. Let's read that again. It is possible. It's not a bunch of, I mean, when you, help me out. Give me some of some characteristic of Jesus Christ. Compassionate. So therefore, let's go back to the verse. Those who say they live in God, meaning those who say they have relationship with God, those who says they are followers of God, those who says they are a disciple of God, should, this is not my word, should live their lives as Jesus did. So therefore, Jesus was compassionate. Should I be? Give me something else. Faithful. I should be faithful at work. I should be faithful to my wife. I should be faithful to my children. I should be faithful to my responsibilities. Give me something else. Forgive. Amen. You're killing me right there. Forgiven. Oh, forgiven. Oh, man. I want to build three little houses right there. And forgiveness right there. Forgiven. Forgiving one another. You forgive people. Do you forget? Probably not. But you give them a blank sheet of paper. You forgive. Give me something else. Jesus obeyed his mother, his parents. Something else. Holy, gentle, kind. Come on now. Humble, loving, merciful. Guys, this is the word of the Lord. Those who say they live in God should live their life as Christ. They should express the characteristic of Christ. Merciful. You should be merciful. You should be kind. Remember, humble. I'm talking about the biblical principle for relationship. And the enemy is after your relationships. So therefore, whatever you need to do to keep good relationship, you should. Because if you claim to know God, and yet you hate a brother, man, you're a liar. If you're saying, I know I love Jesus. Oh, man, worship. Oh, what's the saying? Waymaker, miracle work. I tell you, if you know someone has something against you, stop it. Don't be a hypocrite. I love you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, you are so beautiful. Stop it. Go to the person. Say, you know what? You've hurt me. I've been really. Yeah, because we think it, right? I was really mad. But you know, I forgive you. Would you forgive me for holding a grudge against you? Do we want to do the gospel or we want to play church? I tell you, here in Lansdowne Community Church, as for me in God's house, we don't play church. We do it right. You be nice. You be nice to people. You nice. Don't be like, well, they're not nice at me. They're not nice to me. It doesn't matter. They don't have what you have. They don't have God's nature. They're not like Jesus. They're not a follower of Jesus. No, they didn't say good morning to me. Well, guess what? You can't be like them. You can't. When the church start doing the church, obey God's word, people are going to want to be like you. Because who doesn't want to be loved? Who doesn't want to feel accepted? We all do. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you, verse 7. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another. Remember, I told you, Satan is after your relationships. He's after your relationship. He will always be after your relationship with God. A disciple is a disciplined one. So since I know Satan is after my relationship with God, guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to let him. I won't let Satan steal my Bible reading time out. I'm going to read my Bible. I won't let Satan steal my time with God away. I'm going to split time with God. Because what happened? Friendship, right? We love, most of you here have a good friend. How did it start? It starts with spending time. Seriously, I long to spend time with all of you, especially my leadership team. But I understand you're busy. But you know what? We can't be friends if we don't spend time. You just know me here on Sunday morning, and I see you. It grieves my heart because I'm very relational. Jesus was relational. I love people. I love you. So I want to spend time. I want to play Uno with you. No, your house doesn't have to be in order for me to come see you. You can come to my house. I want to come to your house. You know, we are in a relationship. That's what it's about, guys. This is it. And that's what we've been missing all those years. That's what the church lost. Trying to do religion. Don't do this. Don't do that. Stop that. Everybody's trying to follow these rules. Oh, there's a picture. I forgot to look it up on the internet. I've seen a picture of one of the president with their kid laying under the table, under the... Which president is that? You guys know what picture I'm talking about? Now tell me. A president. You know, my kids growing up, still today they knew that. I was always busy in my office, you know. If I'm talking to somebody, I remember when Ryan was little, I said, Ryan, if you need me, whatever, you always have access to me. I'm never busy for my kids. God is never busy for you. Just think about it. That president, who else could go and lay, under the president's desk, probably with a coloring book, right? Under what desk? The president's desk. He's just being a child. The most powerful man on earth. Oh, yes. My man, thank you so much. This is it. Satan is always after that place. He doesn't want you to have that place. He doesn't. Work hard. Fight for it. The Lord already fight for it. Jesus already done everything so you could be at peace in the bosom of the Father, in the heart of the Father. Don't let anything steal that away from you. You are a disciple of Jesus. So therefore, you practice discipline. If you're busy enough, crazy busy, maybe wake up earlier. I have a neighbor that wakes up at 4:30 in the morning to go to the gym. 4:30. 4:30. You know why? Because she realized, she talks all day, she's a counselor. She realized, you know what? I get back from work and I'm busy cooking, taking care. I got to take care of myself. You are your greatest asset. You got to take care of yourself. Because if you don't, nobody else will. I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my relationship with the Father. I'm taking care of my relationship with my wife, with my children, with my neighbors, with you. You go and do the same. Why? Because the enemy, Satan, is always after your relationship with God. He's always after your relationship with people. Guess what? I won't let it happen. Now, until you can stand up saying, you know what? I won't let it happen. It will happen. Because I cannot take that position for you. You have to take that position. See, the other thing that prevent us from having fluid or good relationship with people is when we judge. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for setting me free. It's like onions, they say, right? The Lord's setting me free too. Because there are certain people, when I used to see them, I used to judge them right away because of the way they look. God is changing that. The Lord loves everyone. God loves all, us all. And we all look alike. We all look the same on the inside. This is the good news, right? This is the gospel. And guess what? It's not even my word. It's 1 John and Genesis. You know, there's a verse in Genesis where God asks Adam, well, who told you you're naked? Whose voice are you listening to? See, when you spend time with somebody, you get to know them. You get to know their thoughts for you. You get to know their plans. Why? Because we spend time together. You know? You already know, so-and-so would never say that. Why? Because you already know. And to finish in 1 John, I want to finish reading that, verse 10. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. Now, let's not rush into this verse. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light. Because God, anyone who loves, we're talking about the agape love. Anyone who is kind, anyone who is compassionate, anyone who is gentle, anyone who is, help me out, patient, forgiving towards another. That person is living in the light. He's living in the light and does not cause, that is not the other side of the verse, does not cause others to stumble. You know, there are a lot of people that cause a lot of people to stumble. They say, man, I'll never go to church. I mean, you look at those Christians, man, they look so grumpy. Guys, listen to me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I tell you, when you're dwelling in the presence of the Lord and you're dwelling with Jesus, guess what he does to you? He makes you excited. Excited, man. Excited. If you're grumpy, go check your relationship with the Lord. You shouldn't be grumpy. And I'm serious. Some of you are too serious. You don't have to be. Yeah. Relax. You know, relax. Have fun. That's why in our home groups, we play games. I have a game I'm going to teach our cell leaders so they can teach you in your home groups. You know, loosen up. Lighten up, all right? Have a glass of wine. Yeah, I know. Some people are like, oh, I can't believe we said that. Like, what, Pastor, you're preaching religion. I'm not telling you to go get drunk. You better not. You should know better. I mean, we love following laws, rules. Jesus came to set us free. He lived with us. And that's what's beautiful about the gospel. When we understand the gospel, everybody should want a piece of it. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He whom the Son sets free. I told you I have a song for everything. The song sets free shall be free indeed. Yeah. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Verse 11. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. You see, we are designed to be in relationship with God. God created us to be in relationship with us. And foremost, secondly, we are designed to be in relationship with others. So today, I'm going to challenge you again. Please, keep your relationship. It's okay to be busy. But Satan fills our lives with everything else. We are so busy. We are so busy. We're so tired. You will put your time where your values are. If you value friendship, guess what? You will hang out with me. I'm serious. Now I'm serious. I am serious, okay? I don't talk around the bushes. I'm telling you. You don't want to hang out with me? That's fine. I got it. I want to be your friend. You don't want. So I'm going to get over it. But you put your time where your heart is. I love worship. As a worship leader, I know spending time in the presence of the Lord by myself is a must. I do not negotiate that. I don't come here and do soaking because I have nothing else to do. No. I love it. I know David. When I read the Bible, I see that's what he did. David spent time worshiping the Lord by himself. A worship leader, you got to spend time by yourself ministering worship only to God when no one is around. Why? Because that's how I become friend with God. That's how I know him. That's how he speaks to me. That's how he blessed me with his presence. That's how he changes me. That's how it happens. It's not religion. And I thank God for PK once again. I remember back in 2007 when we were doing through the CBI, like the cornerstone studies he was doing with us. He asked me, he's like, Ricardo, there's one thing I want you to do. Him being a worship leader, he said, part of the things I want you to do is I want you to give me 3 hours a week. I play the guitar. I didn't know how to play the piano. But it was a lot easier. No, I didn't know the sound and stuff. It was a lot easier for me to go to church and sit on the piano and just learn the keys and worship. That's how I soak. I just sing. I learn. And then from there, practice what they say. Good practice make perfect. Good practice, right? Is that how you say it, Bernie? Perfect practice? Perfect practice makes perfect. Because if you're practicing the wrong way, so the little thing you know, keep doing it good. Protect your relationship. You know, the purpose of the church, of our church, is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And not only to make regular disciples, but disciples that are who are making others to become disciples. Now, some of you might be like, what does it look like? Don't worry about that, because we will be talking about that in the next coming weeks. You know, the Bible also tells us we should not, what's the word? We should not, no, it's the message of Jesus and the method of Jesus are the same. So we should not, if we want the Jesus result, we need to match the message of Jesus with the method of Jesus. Is that making sense? So I'm excited to match the method of Jesus with the message of Jesus. Because you know why? I want Jesus' result. I want Jesus' result. So this morning, I want you to respond. I know all of you here, you are disciples of Christ already. Or maybe some of you that are watching online, you just need to repent from not obeying the laws of God. The next coming weeks, I'm going to talk about what some principles for a disciple. I am proud to be called a disciple of Christ. Yeah, Christian, Christ-like, somebody who followed Christ's order. I'll invite the worship team together. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, God, that you loved us so much and to feed us good stuff. And this morning, God, we accept your word. And as I invite people to respond and maybe come to the altar if some of them need prayer. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done in our hearts. Oh, thank you, Father. I ask that you would forgive our sins, Lord. Forgive our shortcomings, Lord. Father, forgive us for all the times we misrepresented you. Forgive us for all the times that we were supposed to show the world who you are, but we did your word. We didn't. But this morning, Lord, we heard your word. We get it. We accept it. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in Lenstown Community Church. Thank you for rising up a new generation, for changing our mindsets. Thank you, Lord, for taking us to a level of deep intimacy with you. Father, we love you. And today I ask, as we continue to ponder on what were spoken and maybe give an answer, I ask that you would give us a desire and the boldness to continue to protect our relationship with you and our relationship with people, family, friends, co-workers. Because we know that the enemy, he's the author of division. He likes when we divorce. He likes when we separate. He likes when we hate each other. But God, you're the God of love. You're the God of restoration. Do that in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.